bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth.
Come on.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Hey.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Welcome to ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM. Streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. My name is Angelo Carriero, and this is my sports show, baby. I'm glad you all are joining me this morning on this beautiful, not so beautiful Sunday morning. It's pretty gloomy outside. Give me a call at 381-1313, 381-1313. That is 381-1313. Speaking of gloomy, I just wanted to get this out of the way. I like to have a lot of fun on my show. I like to enjoy myself. I like for others to enjoy themselves. So sticking too hard to this Kentucky-Alabama game just doesn't seem like something that I want to do this morning. But give me a call if you want to talk about it, because I know a lot of people were upset. I know this season isn't going the way that everybody thought it would. I had the Kentucky Wildcats at the beginning of the year at 4-6 on the season. And that was very unpopular. And I understood the hope and the optimism. I'm not against hope and optimism. I'm actually a big believer and a big buyer into hope and optimism. But with this football team, I saw that, number one, it's an SEC-only slate. And a couple of those wins you can get, I mean, like, listen, we all love Maction, right? Like, Tuesday night football. I got to tell you, I watch a lot of Monday night football, and Tuesdays I try to spend it with my family. I think I would rather watch Maction than Monday night football. I'd probably rather watch Maction than Thursday night football at this point. Maction's a lot of fun. But it's still, in the end, it's still Maction. It's still Central Michigan. It's still Toledo. It's still Eastern Michigan. It's still those teams. And Kentucky's usually able to vulture a couple wins off of those. And it's not like Kentucky's the only one. That's not what I'm saying. Because Alabama has their UABs. They have their Charlestons. They have their South Carolina Eastern Central Upper State Community College team that they beat up on. But I thought 4-6 was pretty appropriate, considering that in an SEC schedule, if Kentucky goes 500 in the SEC, generally as a populace, as a football fans, us, we're pretty happy with 500. So 4-6, I thought, you know, sounds about right. Sounds about right. I gave us 4 guaranteed wins. I gave us Ole Miss. I gave us Mississippi State. I gave us Missouri. And I gave us Vanderbilt as the 4 guaranteed wins. And all the other ones I had as either guaranteed losses all the way down to toss-ups. So, obviously, I was wrong on 2 of those, because Ole Miss was able to, I used the word earlier, vulture, out of victory. And somehow Missouri was able to beat Kentucky at their own game. Okay, so that took 2 wins off the table, but you added a win with Tennessee. Tennessee was one of my toss-up games. I had 2 toss-up games this year. Tennessee, South Carolina. It's funny, we'll get to South Carolina here in a second. But after yesterday, here's the thing. I'm not going to be overly mad about the results. It's Alabama. We all know about Alabama. But I said this on the post-game show yesterday. And by the way, for anybody that's listening right now, just know that I have a UK game day pregame show right here on either 1300 AM or 92.5 FM, whatever you're listening on, or WLXG.com, if you choose to listen via that route. I said that whenever you're, as a team, as a person in life, whatever you do, whenever you have opportunity, you have to seize it. It is either opportunity that you have created for yourself or opportunity that is given to you. It doesn't matter which route that is. You have to seize the opportunity that is given to you. So yesterday when Kentucky started out that first quarter, I would argue, and I was made fun of last night, by the way. I had a couple of friends that that gave me a hard time for this. I said very, very frankly that Kentucky won the first quarter. And obviously in a 63-3 loss, that garnered a lot of jeers. A lot of jeers. But it's true. Kentucky was better than Alabama in the first quarter. Flatly. Everything else after that, a bummer, for sure. But my beef and my issue, because I want to give a shout out to one person that I'm sure on the show before me gets a lot of grief, and rightfully so. And I've given a lot of grief over the years. In that first quarter, you can't tell me that Eddie Grant didn't have a good play call. You can't tell me in that first quarter that Eddie Grant did not come out with a game plan that was conducive to Kentucky winning. I won't believe it if you say otherwise. Because he did. I'm not the hugest Eddie Grant fan. I don't think anybody is a huge Eddie Grant fan. And whenever we're trying to place blame on someone or something for Kentucky football's offensive woes, obviously it's going to lay on the shoulders of the offensive coordinator. But I thought he did all right. It's opportunity. And I thought Eddie Grant seized it. The one man that did not seize it yesterday that I thought was Coach Mark Stoops. And this is why. Just one reason. Early in the second quarter, Kentucky called a timeout in the red zone. Third down. Came out. Believe Terry Wilson. And again, this is yesterday's game. Recollecting that Terry Wilson ran like a quarterback dive up the gut, fourth down. I think you all are familiar by now with me, and if you're not, I do a program called Varsity Game Night for ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. I think you all are familiar by now that I do Varsity Game Night, which is a high school football program. On Friday night, we did a game, which, by the way, the high school football playoffs have started. Nothing better. High school football playoffs in Kentucky. And whenever you're able to get back out there again, be sure to support your guys. But Madison Central came to Lexington from Richmond, a place that I lived about half my life. I've split it between Lexington and Richmond. I went to Madison Central. I played at Madison Central football. Went to EKU, all that. So I'm very intimate with Madison Central. Head coach was my offensive line coach in high school. He's going to be let go by the program, which I think is a stupid idea. And I think Madison Central are fools for letting him go, considering that he was the first coach to ever make the state semis in 2018. We are 2 years removed from that, and they're letting the man go. That's a crime in itself. And that decision was made prior to this playoff game. But Madison Central came in 1-7. Okay? Bryan Station was 8-1. I'm not saying that's a direct comparison to Kentucky that was sitting at, if I tally it up, 3-4 coming in to Alabama 6-0. But Kentucky went on the road to Alabama. They were without 10 players, 4 of them starters, 3 of the top 5 players on the team in Duffy, Rodriguez, and Jamin Davis. They weren't given a chance to win. And neither was Madison Central on Friday night. Whenever you play with house money, like both of those teams were, you have to seize every opportunity that you get. The opportunity for Madison Central on Friday night was with 1:15 left in the fourth quarter. Madison Central quarterback Cannon Centers threw a touchdown pass to Jaden West, got in the end zone. The score is 13 Madison Central, 14 Bryan Station. And in high school, special teams is not a given. So I suggested to go for it. Go for the 2-point conversion. Go for the win. I understand there's a 1:15 left, but if you have the lead, again, anything can happen, and you're playing with house money. With Kentucky yesterday, I thought that when Terry Wilson ran that quarterback dive, and it was fourth down, Kentucky's not only in the red zone, I believe they were within the 10-yard line at that point. At that point, it's 7-3. You have the ball. You're in the 10. You're in the red zone. You have a chance to go up 10-7 against Alabama in the second quarter, which no one expected you to. No one expected you to be here. No one expected you to have that point. So go for it. And just like in high school, unfortunately, in college football, and we've seen it proven out and bear out even in the NFL, special teams is never a given. So go for it. Kentucky didn't. That's all she wrote. Final score, 63-3. Oh, well, we'll get them next week, right? Going to Gainesville against Florida. That should be a lot of fun. All right, around the bend, I'm going to talk about a little bit about the UK basketball team, a little bit about what's going on. We had the pro day. We had a little bit of the Big Blue Madness. I guess it was a little bit of a shell of itself because of, you know, COVID, essentially, but that scrimmage was hard to watch. But I'm going to give my thoughts on what the starting lineup should be, a little bit about the player evaluation, and we'll talk about that all around the corner here with Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. What you know about Sunday mornings with Angelo Carriero here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Give me a call at 381-1313. That is 381-1313. And the reason why I ask you to give me a call is because this is pretty much the last time I'll be taking calls this show, simply because I'm talking about the UK men's basketball team right now. And the reason why I'm talking about the UK men's basketball team is because, basketball season has snuck up on me. Because obviously, if you all have been listening to this station over the last couple of years, you know that I do mostly on the production side, but I do the UK pre and post game shows for basketball. And it's a, you know, in the winter, you get a couple cold nights. No, most of y'all, especially with COVID now, you're able to stay inside. You're able to, you know, stay warm, stay cozy. You got a little bit of a mistletoe, a Christmas tree. Got some hot chocolate on the stove, all that good stuff. While I, just for your entertainment, pleasure, and viewings, or hearings, I'm out in this cold, I'm bearing the winter, the elements coming to the studio and leaving. I know, woe is me. But knowing that Wednesday starts the UK pre- and post-game shows, because that's when basketball begins, I got to admit, it did surprise me. But we've had a little bit of a primer. We had the UK Pro Day, and you had the UK Big Blue Madness, which, you know, obviously the intros were fun. Aaron Calipari called John her roommate. Oh, that's fun. You know, good times all around when it comes to this. I wanted to see basketball, really. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see basketball. Didn't really get a chance to see basketball, though. I got to see a little bit on the pro day. They did have a little bit of the scrimmages. That was cool. You got to see some shoot-arounds. But before I go anywhere else, I've got a caller on the line. Caller, what's your name?
What's going on? It's Sean.
Hey, Sean, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Now, after yesterday, I got to wonder. Mm-hmm. Here's my question. Mm-hmm. What is the ceiling here? What's the expectation? What's the desire for the football program?
Are you talking about going forward in general?
Yeah, no, I think we're at that point. I mean, what, you know, are we going to go, hey, man, let's, you know, if Louisville can stay down and beat our three cupcakes, if we can break even 8-4, and is that what this gig is? I mean, is that what it is?
Let me explain it like this. This is the way I feel about it, Sean. I think if Kentucky can be the Michigan State of the SEC, I think there's value in that. Because if you look at Michigan State, they'll go 7-5, 8-5, whatever, you know, pretty consistently. But then there are peak years where they go 10-3. They beat Ohio State. They are in the college football playoff. You know, these examples of where Michigan State's ceiling is so high that if Kentucky, like out of this year, Sean, just so you know, I predicted the team to go 4-6. But one thing I did say is that at least I think that Mark Stoops has built a program that in every single game they can be competitive. And except for yesterday, I think the team's been competitive in every single game they played this year. Do you agree?
This year, I can't say you're wrong, but I thought we were past games like yesterday. That was Bill Curry-esque.
Any credence to you that you know, you were down 10 players, including three of your top five players, and Jamin Davis, Max Duffy, and Chris Rodriguez?
Well, one's a punter, but
One is not only a punter, but the best punter in the nation, right? I mean, like,
hey, Duffy's a stuffy. I get it, but no, I don't know. I'm just I does a little bit.
You're right, though.
That.
I mean, you hope that games don't happen like that, but at the same time, like, it's Alabama. What are you supposed to? You know how many teams feel like that when, you know, let's say Texas A&M's basketball program's just plucky. And they come in and Kentucky beats the brakes off of them by 35. They probably think the same thing, but, you know, it's Kentucky basketball. You know, it's the way it goes.
Yeah. I tell you what, if you know what I would do, I'd be reaching out to Hugh Freeze right now, take that program to the next level.
Are you serious?
Oh, totally. He'll be at Tennessee next year.
Or South Carolina.
I'm leaning Vols.
You're leaning Vols. Sean, I'm going to hold you to that.
I listen to a guy all the time. I don't want to say his name. He's not on the radio, but the podcasts and stuff. I'm sure you've heard of him. There's like the marathon stuff for Tennessee, like the six-hour post games.
Okay.
He seems pretty good, pretty accurate. And he says, Freeze has already reached out to Boucher saying he wants it.
All right. Sean, I'm going to hold you to that because I know where you live. Okay.
Hey, you know what I can't wait for starting this week?
Kentucky basketball?
Watching bad basketball played in front of no fans. I can't wait. Later, man.
See you, Sean. Thanks for the call, man. You can join Sean on the line at 381-1313. That's 381-1313, 381-1313 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Angelo Carriero here with you with all the sports. Talk about anything under the sports sun, as I like to call it. But right now we're talking about the Kentucky basketball team. You only get so much from Big Blue Madness. Even me and my friends. Now, look. I'm not going to sit here and claim, and I should, because it would be good for my job. It would be good for my reputation if I said it like this. But I'm not the foam finger number one Kentucky basketball fan in the world. I grew up, you have to understand, listen to me. I know that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. I love Kentucky basketball. It's like a sibling to me, Kentucky basketball is. But I grew up with this sibling. It's kind of like this. Like, if you have your own sibling that you get along with now, but maybe in their teenage years they were a little difficult. I mean, I feel like you can relate to that. Imagine my growing up with Kentucky basketball was simply, it was, I believe, 2004. It was the Cliff Hawkins, Gerald Fitch, Clint Osbucci, Chuck Hayes, Eric Daniels team. Antoine Barber, sixth man off the bench. Number one seed. My first memory is loving that basketball team and them losing against the Twins at UAB. Or it wasn't at UAB. Obviously, it was the NCAA tournament, but losing to UAB. And from there, it was all downhill. You had the Michigan State overtime thriller in the Elite Eight. Didn't go anywhere. And then it was just, I'm the biggest Rajon Rondo fan you'll know, because I loved Rajon Rondo here. That team went nowhere because you got Joe Crawford, Ramel Bradley, Randolph Morris, Rajon Rondo. That was the recruiting class. We finally got a super recruiting class, and we got 1.5 players out of it. And then Billy Gillespie came to save the day, and that didn't work. So by the time I was out of high school, I mean, it was just that my entire formative years, it was a lot of yelling at the TV at my house and a lack of success. While the Kentucky football team, which football, not only did I play football, I was a fanatic about the sport. I love football. And Kentucky just happened to have its biggest boom period, you know, since, well, I guess prior to that was Tim Couch. And then prior to that was, you know, 84, 83, like during that time, 77. It's the biggest boom period in Kentucky football until Stoops got here. So, obviously, I'm quite partial to the football program, but neither here nor there. I do enjoy Kentucky basketball to an extent, especially when they're winning, especially when they got NBA players, and especially when they're good. But how good is this Kentucky basketball team? If you watched the Big Blue Madness, you have no idea. The top prospect that the team has in BJ Boston, he couldn't hit a three in the three-point shootout. But a couple players could. Dunk contest, Isaiah Jackson. If you go to my Twitter, at Angelo Media Lex, it resonated a, he did what? By Al Michaels on the Antonio Freeman catch. That dunk was incredible. And then the scrimmage was a farce. It was just John Calipari talking the entire time, which was a waste of time to me, at least. I didn't want to, you know, sit there and listen to that. I wanted to watch, you know, competition. But this is why I wanted y'all to call, is because I got my starting lineup. I think with as little as we've seen, and outside of high school clips, all we got is this, is what we've seen. I would go in the starting lineup at point guard, Davion Mintz. Because I know my buddies, we've all talked about, we thought Devin Askew. Well, Mintz already played at Creighton. He was the winner of the three-point shootout. And I feel like he brings like a calming stability to the point guard position. Why go to a freshman? that reclassified, that is, yeah, he was a California Player of the Year, but, you know, male athlete of the year or whatever. I still think it should be Davion at that point guard position, okay? I think it's shooting guard, small forward, whatever you want those two positions to be. B.J. Boston's got to be one of them. When you're that type of top prospect, you get the playing time. And I think Terrence Clark would be the other one at this point. Power forward, Isaiah Jackson, because we're all in love with Isaiah Jackson right now. He can stroke the three. He's athletic. He can block shots. He is the prototypical number four in basketball today. And then who I think will be the best player on the team, at least in the beginning of the season, Olivier Saar at center. He showed me that in the pro day that he could hit mid-range jumpers at an incredible clip. And then at the Big Blue Madness, he showed me that he could hit three-point shots. That guy is going to be everything that we'd hoped and more. And an emphasis on the and more. I think he's going to be incredible. That's weird, though. Kind of veiling, you know, Keon Brooks in a, yeah, he's injured. You know, is he injured? He was out there. If he is injured, redshirt him. And if not, shouldn't he start? Just all part of the fun questions with this UK basketball team. I can't tell you what I think of him yet, but there is to me this little Grinch-sized Kentucky basketball heart of mine, I know. But it's getting three times bigger. Because there's something about this team that gets me going. And I can't tell you what it is, but I think I believe in them. And that's my starting lineup. We got Morehead State. We've got the UK Game Day pregame show on Wednesday. I'm excited for it, and I hope you are too. When I come around the bend, we're going to talk about the NBA draft. And as much as I want to talk about my picks and my favorite picks and all that, I'll try to focus on Kentucky the best I can. So we'll talk about the NBA draft right around the corner here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. I'm Angelo Carriero, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com.
Can y'all really feel me? Feel us. East Coast, feel us. West Coast, feel me. Say what? Dirty South.
Welcome back to ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. That's WLXG.com. Angelo Carriero with you here on a Sunday morning. I know it's gloomy outside, but I hope that in your heads and in your hearts, shining a little brighter, just like it was for the Kentucky basketball team on NBA draft night. By the way, NBA free agency has been ridiculous. If you all have followed the NBA free agency moves and whatnot, Gordon Hayward getting a four-year, $120 million contract after he's been injured for, I don't know, 3 years? Inconceivable. Michael Jordan, your GOAT. This is how he runs a basketball operation. Though I did like the LaMelo Ball pick. I actually like that pick a lot. Free agency, I'll save that for next week. How about that? We'll see how the market shifts out. All I want to say is that the smart teams, the good teams, the successful teams are signing really good proven veterans at small contracts. And the bad teams are taking gambles with high dollars on either injured or players that probably will never make an all-star team. The NBA has poverty franchises, and they are bearing themselves out with how they've performed in the free agent signing period. But it's that old rule, you know, you want to win free agency, and then you'll see how it actually happens once the games are played on the court, which with the NBA, oh my gosh, what's today? We are getting in exactly 1 month, November 22nd. I can't wait. By the way, give me a follow on Twitter, at Angelo Media Lex. I just got a new follow. Mary Johnson, Johnson Mary, two. Appreciate it. Give me a follow while you're at it, at Angelo Media Lex. If you follow me while I'm on the air and I see it, I'll give you a shout-out. How about that? So hopefully a good little trade-off for you. But I'll get free agency out of the way. We'll talk about the NBA draft. Obviously, Anthony Edwards, the number one overall pick to the Minnesota Timberwolves. James Wiseman went number two to the Golden State Warriors. They ended up not trading that pick. Of course, Klay Thompson now out for the year with an Achilles tear, which, you know, seems like everybody feels really bad for him. So terrible luck for Klay Thompson, tearing his ACL in the playoffs, missing last year, ready for this year, tears his Achilles. You hope that he's the same at some point. And then LaMelo Ball going third overall, the guy that I had. I didn't think, honestly, I don't think LaMelo's as good as his brother. I think Lonzo's better. And I know that that's very controversial because everybody around here, number one, hates Lonzo Ball. Number two, hates the balls. And number three, Lonzo Ball hasn't had, let's say, the NBA career I expected him to have. But I thought LaMelo Ball, all things considered, I did think that Anthony Edwards has the highest scoring potential in the class. James Wiseman has the opportunity to make the most all-star games out of this class. But I thought LaMelo Ball had the greatest chance to be special. You know, one of those guys that changes a franchise, makes you a playoff contender every year. I think his passing ability is great. I think he'll get his scoring down. But maybe he won't. That's the problem with this basketball class, with this NBA draft class, which was why it was even more shocking that Tyrese Maxey fell into the 20s. He went 21 to Philadelphia. This doesn't sit right. After all, he was a top 10 recruit out of Texas, Garland, Texas, I believe. He was I feel like Nick Richards, for a while, was our best player. Then it was Emmanuel Quickley winning SEC Player of the Year. But I think all of us knew that if Kentucky got into the NCAA tournament, that it was Tyrese Maxey that was going to lead us to the promised land, to the championship, strive for nine. But the season was shut down. We didn't get to see that opportunity. But to me, I felt that this Kentucky basketball team, or at least last year's Kentucky basketball team, simply went as far as Tyrese Maxey took him. I think Tyrese Maxey is a perfect fit next to Ben Simmons in Philadelphia, if he stays in Philadelphia. Because my prediction is that Tyrese Maxey is going to be attached to the hip of Ben Simmons for a while. Because if James Harden goes to Philadelphia, Ben Simmons is out. Which, by the way, I've loved Joel Embiid for years and years and years and years. But I'd rather have Ben Simmons at this point. Point blank. Point blank. I'd rather have Ben Simmons than Joel Embiid. Hurts me to say, because I've been such a big Joel Embiid fan, Ben Simmons is better. He just is. He's more valuable. Even if you're just talking about retrading someone, it's him. But I do think that if they make a trade for James Harden, that Ben Simmons and Tyrese Maxey will go out of the door. Because Tyrese Maxey is a perfect fit around Ben Simmons. And the reason why I never blame them for the Markelle Fultz trade up in 2017 to pick Markelle Fultz number one overall was because Markelle Fultz was the perfect combo guard next to your point guard Ben Simmons. And Tyrese Maxey fills that. Because at the end of games, as much as I love Ben Simmons, he cannot have the ball in his hands in the last 2 minutes of a basketball game. He can be your pick and roll man, like the roller, the screener. He can't be your ball handler. But you know who can? That's right. You guessed right. Tyrese Maxey. Because he's a scorer. Because with the ball in his hands, he knows how to get a shot off. He knows how to get to the rim. He knows how to put the basketball inside of the cylinder, which is the whole point of the entire sport. God knows how to do it. So I love the Philadelphia pick of Tyrese Maxey. Also something that I found valuable. Now, we'll see how it works because the New York Knicks organization is spotty at best. But Emmanuel Quickley being the first-round pick, hallelujah, I told you. I don't say I told you so a lot, but I told you so, especially to my buddy Chad. Especially to my buddy Chad, because he kept telling me, my friend Chad, he kept telling me, Emmanuel Quickley is inconsistent. He's not going to be a first-round pick. All of my mock drafts that I see, he's in the 50s in the second round and stuff. And I said, look, the NBA needs one thing. I always say it like this. Think of the modern NBA and think of it as who could fit around James Harden? And you'll figure out which players are fit for the modern NBA. And I said, you know who would fit perfect around James Harden, Houston? Emmanuel Quickley. Because he doesn't need to handle the ball. He can hit threes and he can play defense. He's a 3-and-D guard. Sign me up. Well, I thought because of those skills and such a weak draft that a 3-and-D guard, the caliber of SEC Player of the Year, Emmanuel Quickley, I felt that he was a first-round draft pick. And obviously the New York Knicks did as well. So Oklahoma City made the pick, traded it to New York. And now in the bright lights of Madison Square Garden, sharing the floor with Julius Randle and Kevin Knox, got Emmanuel Quickley. And hopefully R.J. Barrett and his ISOs, with however that goes this year, every now and then he sees Emmanuel Quickley all alone at the corner behind the three-point line where Ray Allen made that shot to defeat the San Antonio Spurs and win an NBA championship. Emmanuel Quickley's right there. Lastly, Nick Richards was selected by the New Orleans Pelicans, but he was traded to the Charlotte Hornets. So Charlotte, what an interesting offseason they had. I mean, just to talk about mind-blowing. You draft LaMelo Ball. They draft Vernon Carey Jr., who was the number one recruit in high school just a year ago. In the second round, top of the second round, which I really like both of those picks for Charlotte. I mean, just get talent, my goodness. And then Michael Jordan went too far and signed Gordon Hayward to a 4-year, $120 million deal. I didn't mean it like that, Michael. I just meant get cost-controlled, talented players. But along with that, they picked up Nick Richards. So Nick Richards joining PJ Washington and Malik Monk. In Charlotte, I like it. I like it, especially with LaMelo Ball. If there's one guy at the NBA level, because Nick Richards, as good as he was last year for Kentucky, he's going to need someone to create his scoring opportunities for him at the NBA level. And you can laugh at LaMelo all you want, but the one thing you cannot say about him, and if you look inward, you'll agree, that kid passes the ball. And he does it really well. So if there's one player that I would want for Nick Richards at the NBA level, would be LaMelo Ball. And hopefully over Vernon Carey Jr. because Duke, you hope that Nick Richards becomes his best friend. All right. Wish I could talk about NBA draft more. If you follow me at Angelo Media Lex, I will be able to point you to more of some of my NBA draft discussions, NBA free agency. But coming up, I'll give you my picks for the NFL today. It's Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Is it my goal? Angelo Carriero here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Let's get to the NFL schedule at hand. Arizona and Seattle played on Thursday. Seattle escaped with a 28-21 victory, kind of putting a stunt to Kyler Murray's MVP campaign while kind of helping boost Russell Wilson's after a really rough couple of weeks. Forgot who I took in that game. I think I took Arizona. So I'd be 0-1 right now. But let's go to today's games, okay? Back to a heavy 1 o'clock slate since the Masters, the final round of the Masters isn't on today. Philadelphia at Cleveland, this is an interesting one. Because I think Cleveland should be the favorites. And if you're putting money on it, I would put it on Cleveland. But because Cleveland, even though Philly is going to Cleveland, they're without Myles Garrett because of COVID. And with that, I do think that Philadelphia wins. Cleveland's defense, I love Denzel Ward. I think they have some good players on there. Their defense is not very good. And without Myles Garrett, makes it even worse. Philadelphia, not as bad as we all think. They're bad. Not as bad as we all think. I'm taking Philadelphia in that contest. Atlanta at New Orleans, no bones about it. I'm going New Orleans, even though I did think it was interesting that they decided to start Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston. I would have gone with Jameis Winston. And Drew Brees, 11 cracked ribs. That's 11. So let's see if Drew Brees even comes back this year. I don't know if he does. Cincinnati at Washington. I'm done believing in Washington. I gave them multiple weeks for them to say, hey, Angelo, you're right for putting all of your faith. Why I would ever put all of my faith in the Washington football team, I don't know. But Cincinnati, they're getting that win on the road today. I'm taking Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Baby, let's do it. Detroit at Carolina. I'm taking Carolina in that contest. We'll just call it home field. Pittsburgh at Jacksonville. Jacksonville, even though that they are a shell of what they were in 2017, they seem to always give Pittsburgh fits. I'm still taking Pittsburgh. They would go 10-0 for the first time in franchise history. Tennessee at Baltimore, that's a fun game. Not as much fun, actually. Let me take that away because Lamar Jackson, as much as I champion him and I love the guy, it's not been a good year for him, or at least to the standard that he put for himself last year. But I'm still going to take Baltimore at home against Tennessee. That's going to be a real who's who game, which that's said a lot on the Dan Le Batard Show, which you can catch on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com from 10 to noon every Monday through Friday. New England at Houston. Ooh, that's a saucy bad team versus bad team, but both teams should be good game. I'll take New England on the road. Why not? Just why not? I don't have any other reasoning than why not. Miami at Denver. I think this could be a sneaky trap game for Miami. I'll take Miami. But I, for some reason, I also like this Denver Broncos team as well. Something about them. I don't know what it is. New York Jets at Los Angeles Chargers. Let's give another win, or just one win. I'm sure Justin Herbert would go for right now there. Green Bay at Indianapolis. This is my game of the week, of course. Green Bay Packers, go Pack, go. I'm going Green Bay in this game. Making no bones about that. Dallas at Minnesota. Hopefully this is competitive and a little bit of fun. I don't want to watch the Dallas Cowboys play football this year. I'm taking Minnesota. Kansas City at Las Vegas. Kansas City gets their revenge from an early season loss. And then Los Angeles at Tampa Bay. Wow. I didn't think this game would be as hard to read as it is. It's a toss-up. I'll go Tampa Bay at home. Let's just play it safe. Sometimes you got to play it safe. Not like, you know, Mark Stoops. You know, we got to play it safe here. Actually, that's a lot like Mark Stoops. I'm just going to be like him. Anyways, thank you for listening. By the way, Buffalo, Chicago, the Giants, and the 49ers are on a bye week this week. Thank you for listening. This has been Angelo Carriero. And tune in next week, same time, 10 a.m. on Sunday. On ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com.